A Defense Department team was recently honored by a British chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear industry group. DoD was the first organization outside the United Kingdom to get top honors from the group known as CBRN UK. The team received its award for developing and operating the ship-mounted system that destroyed tons of Syrian chemical weapons last year. The field-deployable hydrolysis system was housed on the converted container ship MV Cape Ray. Tim Blades is the Deputy Director of Program Integration at the Edgewood Chemical Biological Center, which had a major hand in developing the technology, and he joins me now. Mr. Blades, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
All right. So this goes back to the agreement between the United States and Syria in 2013 to destroy chemical weapons that Syria was turning over to the United States. What were the challenges for your team in carrying this whole thing out?
Well, we had a very short timeline, and assembling the team and procuring all the parts necessary to build the system itself in time, and also providing a means to test the system and demonstrate its usability, was difficult, and then further complicated by the fact that sequestration was going on, and so we had to factor that into the process. But we were very fortunate and able to do it.
So where did all of your team members come from? I mean, they used to call that the Edgewood Arsenal, right, where you are?
That's correct. And over the past several years during BRAC, a lot of the CBRN-oriented organizations have been located here. And so that became a force multiplier for us. We teamed together with subgroups from the Joint Product Manager for CBR, which is a joint organization, as well as Chemical Materials Agency and our Edgewood Chem Bio Center, all located here at Edgewood. So from the design team to the procurement group, the contracting folks, and then us that build it, all located here together.
Now, was the chemical process that you were going to use something that was known already, and you just needed a means to build something to carry out that process, or were you also working on the process itself?
Actually, the process is very old. The chemistry involved in hydrolysis is probably some of the simplest and oldest. Just involves mixing water with things to change their structure. So that part was pretty well established. I mean, obviously, we optimized it for the particular compounds that we were asked to look at. And so really what we were involved in mostly was to build a mechanical means to provide a safe way to do that chemical reaction.
So there's no machine off the shelf you can go to and say, let me have one of those and just stick it on a pallet in a ship.
No, I wish there was. In the end, the challenge is materials of construction, because the resulting mix from the reaction itself is very acidic, and so there isn't really anything off the shelf. So it's a custom built piece of equipment, but primarily built from commercial off the shelf parts.
So is it glass tubing and tanks and heating elements? I mean, what are the pieces that are in it?
Pumps, inline mixers that are made of exotic metal like titanium or hastelloy, Teflon line pipe in order to preclude corrosion, those kinds of things. Nothing really, really special, but just things that aren't necessarily fabricated until there's an order in hand from a buyer.
So it sounds like you had to cut and fit things and maybe do some welding or gluing and all of this. Who did all that type of work? Was it Army civilian?
All Army civilians, yes, sir.
So you didn't have pipe welders come in from contractors and so forth. This was something the Army did itself.
We have an organic capability here. In fact, the group that I'm responsible for is, we like to think we're a one-stop shop. We can design, build, deploy, and operate this kind of equipment all over the world.
And what are some of the dangers in the process? I mean, can it blow up on you, or can a pipe break and spray people with things? I mean, there must have been some concern about, you know, the integrity of the whole boiling system there.
Well, pressure and heat are the two primary issues. And then, as I said, the resulting mix is is pretty acidic. There's some contact issues with hot surfaces. There's toxicity issues with the original compounds. So the whole process is done in protective clothing under filtered ventilation. The operational area on this ship was outfitted with cascading ventilation. That's a means to control any off-gassing and make sure that the air is clean before it's processed off the ship. And then the rest of the ship was outfitted with collective protection in the common areas, and that basically filters any air going into those areas, the galleys and the berthing units, so that there's a provision for clean air where people tend to congregate.
We're speaking with Tim Blades. He's the Deputy Director of Program Integration at the Army Edgewood Chemical and Biological Center. And what were the special concerns or difficulties in having this apparatus deploy aboard a ship? Did you have access to the ship while you were building it? Was it built in place, or did you have to move it in?
Yeah, we actually built it for a land-based operation, and then very late in the day, and in fact, about a little over a year ago, the end of November, the decision was made to put it on a ship. And so we had to change up some things, add some processes that we wouldn't have used on land. And the real challenge boils down to vibration and the 6 degrees of motion that a ship goes through. You wouldn't normally expect to experience any of that on land, as well as the zero-sum game on space, because we had to have the room on the operating deck to store all of the original Syrian chemicals and then be able to process those chemicals into movable tanks that were located on other decks in the ship. And so, I mean, what you had when you started is what you had when you finished. So it's just a process of making sure that you have the spare parts and the means to be able to carry out the whole operation without adding anything specifically other than water to the ship itself.
And what about the samples? Were you able to ascertain that what you would be receiving from Syria was close to samples you used to test this apparatus? I'm presuming you tested it, because you really didn't know exactly what you would be getting from Syria.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we did some bench scale testing. The full scale equipment was never tested with the actual materials. We tested it with water just to prove the mechanical process, the chemistry we had already established over the years. But we had a laboratory that we also constructed on the ship, which allowed us to prove that the material that we received was as specified, and also gave us an opportunity to characterize it before we processed it, and then to prove that we destroyed it at the other end.
And how long were you aboard the ship, the team aboard the ship, and how long did all of this take once you received the material from Syria?
The ship left Norfolk late January, and we held up in Rota, Spain for a number of months, and then deployed in late June to Italy, Giatoro, Italy, where we picked up the Syrian chemicals. And then actually, from the point at which we started processing until we completed all of the material, the 600 metric tons, we were actually in operation 42 days.
So you got the handoff of the chemicals from Italians, not directly from the Syrians?
Well, the way that it worked was the Italians only provided a port so that we could tie both ships up. And the only point at which the material touched Italian property was just to transport it from one ship to the next. The ships were moored about 200 yards apart.
So did you have any contact with your Syrian counterparts bringing on the chemicals, or you just kind of waved from 200 yards?
Well, actually, the folks who transported the chemicals out of Syria were Danes, and so that we basically, it was their ship. So we communicated with them and actually never really had any communication directly with the Syrians.
And during your time on that ship, did the Army take good care of you and your crew with respect to food and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the accommodations were tight, 4 to 6 people per berthing unit. And berthing units were kind of, if you can just visualize a box truck or a trailer that you see going up and down the highway, outfitted with bunks and bathrooms, that's the berthing units. Food was good, plenty of it. So, yeah, I would say that from an accommodation point of view, it wasn't the Taj Mahal, it wasn't the Ritz, but it was an acceptable accommodation.
And tell us about the award from this British group.
The award was for innovation, and it was jointly presented to us in the JPEO. And first time that the UK had allowed foreign competition to be considered. We are very closely tied with the UK in this project as well as others. And so it was a real honor for them to consider us and to give us the award.
And so finally, what do you think of the programmatic lessons that you learned from having the short turnaround and some of the curveballs that were thrown at you, such as, hey, this is going to be on a ship?
Well, I think maintaining a positive attitude. I mean, it's amazing what federal civilians can do. We've got a capability that I don't think is normally recognized by the general public because it's not advertised. And so programmatically, I would say build your team and then maintain focus. And, I mean, we were able to take a concept, demonstrate it as a capability and outfit it on a ship in a very short period of time. And then we were extremely successful in the process. So all of that done with a finite group of folks who maintain focus and behave very professionally. So that would be what I'd say.
Tim Blades is the Deputy Director of Program Integration at Edgewood Chemical and Biological Center in Baltimore. Hey, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Tom.